Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Recently, while hiking in the hill country, I was making my way up a steep hill. And I was chugging along and trying to catch my breath, and I noticed a buzzard was flying above me, hovering over me. And I made the rest of the way to the summit of the hill, and I realized the buzzard was wondering whether or not I would have my next meal or I would be his next meal. I then recalled the words of the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall soar like eagles. They shall run and not faint. They will walk and not grow weary." In the presence and the power of God in our lives, you may feel on this Memorial Day weekend as though there's a buzzard hovering over you. And know that the promise of the Lord understands the challenge of life and death in this age in which we live. But in the midst of it, He says that we may soar, and if we can't soar, then we can run. And if we can't run, we can walk. Whatever stage that you're in with your energy level, the Lord understands. And once at the top of the hill, I was being able to see the vista of what was there. That glad that I could be able to have made the effort to see where from where I had come and where I would return. And so it is, there are moments when we have perspired our way to get where we are, we appreciate that place all the more. And so in the scriptures, as in our own life, part of the perspiring, part of the sweating our way to get where we're going in our journey of life, is there are seasons of lament. So in the worship experience, we have touched in by song and by prayer, by scripture and by children's message, the understanding of lament. Lament is a biblical practice of grieving, prayerful sorrowing, protesting before and to God of what is happening. A third of the Psalms, like a psalm that C-Mac referred to, a third of the Psalms are lament psalms. They are psalms of saying, God, this is not how I expected it to be, and yet it is, and who am I to be in light of these circumstances, and what am I to do with my life? Part of the experience of what God provides for us is the strength of His character to grow our capacity to live with the sad stages that come in living life. Remember this. Grief is not your destination, but it is in your destiny. Meaning grief is not our ending place, but it is what we experience along the way to get to our ultimate summit in life. And if we seek to avoid the grief, we will never get to be where we can be in our life. Jesus born in Bethlehem, born in the beauty but in the anguish of his time, ended up on the cross. And as Jacob said on this Sunday, in which we highlight that continued resurrection called ascension, that is what a victory that he made possible, because he wasn't running away from the pain that was there. And in doing so, the Lord made clear that we can only experience where we can be by accepting what isn't that we thought would be, but we are now able to see what is possible because we have lamented, we have understood our feelings in light of God. So where do we do with this? From this passage out of Lamentations, in this small book between the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Ezekiel, that tradition has said it was the prophet Jeremiah, as part of his personal prayer life, penned these prayers. What we do know is that in the heart of these five chapters is the writer's personal confession. Lamentation as a book opens up with the voice of a woman lamenting over the city and her country of what has been lost. It moves then to the language of voices in the city of Jerusalem, of voices of people in the dismay. It moves in chapter 4 to that of here's where we used to be and where we are now, and we don't like it. And the fifth chapter then is just a prayer of the people calling up their feelings and thoughts to God so that God may shape his way in their life. And the final answer isn't given with an exclamation mark in the book of Revelation. It ends with a question mark. Now, resurrection is the result of crucifixion. Ascension is the continuation of the resurrection. We know that God wins in the end, but along the way, there are stages when we're not sure when that victory is going to show itself. But what God shows us is that as we trust in Him, the victory is underway. The victory is underway in our character, in our faith. We must begin first by naming our pain and confusion, lamenting to understand our situation by knowing our feelings. Let grief teach you. Now, some of our friends and family members, some of our brothers and sisters, some of the boys and girls and men and women are able to get to their feelings much quicker than others. And feelings are an important part of what it means to be human. Others may pace themselves to get to their feelings, beginning with thinking and trying to figure it out before determining what the feeling is. And both must come together as a whole. For those of us who think first and feel second, it is essential that we give our time not only to feel because we're feeling, but to understand what it is that we're feeling. We do that through prayer. We do it through conversation. We do it by the sense of reflection or by hiking. We do that by the sense of not trying to run away from our feelings, but stepping into them. And so lamenting is the kind of feeling that comes with grief. It's sadness. It can be anger. It can be resentment. It can be regret. It can be a sadness that seems to loom with an overarching power on our lives, but it is not the last word. Feelings are not the end point, and neither are thoughts. They are both part of the resources of God that make us more fully human in light of Him. And so Jesus in the upper room, as we are prepared to celebrate communion, had told the disciples, now remember you being with me. And allow this memory to be a living memory, and you will feel both the sorrow and the joy. You will remember what the psalmist wrote in 23:5. The Lord has prepared a banquet table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thou anoints our head with oil and our cup runs over, and the light of joy and suffering being there side by side. That's probably how you've experienced your life. It's certainly how it is I experienced my life. It certainly is the experience on a Memorial Day weekend in which we are both grateful and we grieve. We are in our midst with God of being remembering, as the lamenter wrote in Lamentations 3:19-21. Remembering the affliction, the bitterness. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast because of what won't be that used to be. Yet this is what I call to mind. I have a hope in God. So by renaming our feelings, we bring our sorrow into the presence of God. Then God is able to work them and shape them and form and fashion them as a source of hope being born inside of us. But if we're running away from them as we work with our personal finances, if we run away from the feelings of the challenges that are challenging our businesses, as we feel the impact of COVID-19 upon our families, as we lament the loss of lives of people whom we have loved and respected, we must name that feeling and then give it to God, and God will renew us because we have trusted Him with a sadness. And then He is able to take it to its next place. We are grateful for recent rains that we've had in San Antonio. And many of us remember the times of the cycles of rain and drought and rain, then periods of regular rainfall that's kept the Edwards Aquifer up high, that we haven't been concerned about where our next drop of water would come from. And there have been the periods of the drought where we have seen the landscape turn brown, when we had hoped for it to be green. I wrote in my journal on November of 2014, when a rain broke a drought, and I went outside and I danced with joy, glad to be soaked in the cool wetness of rain falling from the skies. In the awareness that droughts from the past have been broken, and again the land has been renewed by the grace coming from above, so it is in periods of difficulties that create radical change in our normal life. God says, I am with you. Our challenge, not that God caused COVID-19, because he did not. But God is the God that has the power to take this virus, destructive as it is, and turn it into the sign of the resurrection, even as following the crucifixion, that God has the capacity to turn right side up what has been wrong side in our lives. We must name the feeling, give it as a lament to God, so that too we may rest in God's care to feel the Lord's renewing mercies. Let God's healing power shape you. The lamenter said, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. He had felt the depth of sorrow, which he had said, I don't feel like my prayers are even being heard by God. They're enveloped by a cloud that keeps them from getting up to heaven. He said, I feel like I'm walled in. And then as he said it, he began to realize he wasn't isolated from God. It's that God was breaking in with the presence of new awareness in his life. And so in this time in which we have been living, it has been our opportunity to see God more freshly, with a wider field of vision, more completely. That has included the sadness and that then gives birth to a hope rising. And so the lamenter penned the prayer. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed by these dangers, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will have hope in him. And so it was that Compkins and Runyon, who penned the words and the music that have gone with the hymn that we sang earlier in our service today, they were in their lives in their mid-50s, thinking about how God had seen them through many challenges and how God was going to be with them as they went forward. And they then composed a song that was picked up by people that were better known than them. And then it began to be sung in circles, wide circles, not only in America, but in other regions of the world, of great is thy faithfulness. It was in the Spirit of God that inspired the lamenter in penning this heart of the Book of Lamentations to say, this is the heart of the message that will be used to inspire people from generations later, that they will know that the Lord's mercies don't dry up. They are renewed because the compassionate nature of God's love is all about new life being born from old life. It is true that life won't be exactly the same as it was before. And we may lament that. I feel it. You feel it. But in the lament, the Lord says, I'm at work. A long-term friend of mine is Subro Sarkar, who lives in West Bengal in India. Between the Bengal Bay and the Himalayas, he is a tremendous Christian leader there, along with his wife, Susanna. He recently penned this message that you see in part, in which he said, this COVID-19 affecting us as it affects you, our prayers are with each other. There is hardship that's been caused, and then a tsunami kind of power hit the region, and the power has gone out. So in the midst of a COVID-19 pandemic was the additional compound of a natural storm coming in out of the oceans and the loss of electricity. For us here in America, imagining that double whammy. And yet, how does my friend, who is a remarkable musician and teacher and leader of the Christian faith, what does he say? And yet we have found good news. Yet we have seen a hope that has been stirring. There is the power source of God that is never cut off from the storms that come in life. So we name this fear. and we name the feeling and we give it to God as a protest of whatever is inside of us in order for that grief to be turned into a wisdom that we cannot be born apart from experiencing grief. The word mourning in the Hebrew means a womb. And so when Jesus in the Beatitudes would say, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted," it's what is born from the grief is a wisdom, as a gift of how to live the rest of our lives in light of what has been lost in order to see ourselves more clearly. This is a healing hope. To see what can be after accepting what won't be. Some of you are in marriages or in family life. It's not what you'd hope for it to be. And yet, lamenting that, you're able then to see what you do have and letting God's blessings to be upon that current reality in order for Him to bring a greater reality. Maybe your own life has been a disappointment. Certainly, the life of the early apostles were a disappointment until they continued to give themselves into the hope of what God would provide through Christ Jesus. See, there is a hope that is born from what has been lost when we can see what's possible in the hands of God. And so the lamenter continued in the crescendo and the summit of his confession. When he said, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. God is good and quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The sense of this hope of God, the hope can be translated in the Hebrew is also wait. So depending on your translation, either word will be there and both will be accurate. The waiting, though, is not just a passive waiting, a disengaged waiting, but it is a waiting that in which we are not the main character. That God is the main character doing inside of us, creating a capacity, a yearning, and growing that capacity that is hope by which the new will be born. Once I reached that hilltop, I got a call from a friend, Todd Still, the dean at Truett Seminary, in which we were able to talk again about a new dream being born from where we had experienced here at Trinity and the Logston family of an old dream that won't be anymore. A decision being made by the other powers and authorities. The seminary is closed. And in its closing, we experienced assimilating, trying to understand and get together what can be. In the midst of that, of knowing that that was a final decision, we could have been stuck in the past and in the sense of a regret that could paralyze us. Or we could bring that as a hope of what can yet still be born so the original vision can be renewed and reshaped. And so it is what we did. And in doing so, in looking for a partner for the San Antonio region that could provide then the opportunity for men and women from diverse backgrounds, representing the full spectrum of this people of the earth and the kingdom hope of God. And for lay people to be able to have an opportunity to get to that next step of growing as disciples of Christ and leaders in the church. That because of our long-term relationship with Baylor and the friendship that many of us have with the faculty and students and the alums of Truett Seminary, we knew they were the great partners by which to wait and hope and build into a life of a future. As that story now has gone national, it is the story about where we are right now in the sanctuary, that to my right, maybe to the left of how you're viewing this, is a creative life center, the creative power of building new, and in the lower level of that, what once had been a basement, we created into a seminary campus of 3,500 square feet that has already been used to bless God, bless the lives of many, and that dream will continue. The power of the grief in a lament is that it doesn't stay what is lost from the past, but it takes us into what is the future of what God can do. So Jesus in his own life and understanding that only a thin line separates laughter and tears is the understanding that in his ministry on earth, it was filled with great joy and also a coming sorrow. And when others tried to prevent the sorrow from happening, Jesus said, "This is how it will be, because in my suffering, in my death, I become the suffering Savior and the one for whom the world may know as Lord. And so in that upper room, a room filled with a sorrow at the time of knowing of what was yet to come at Calvary, Jesus said, but see what is yet to be. See the sorrow, see the heartache of what is before you in light of what is actually happening bigger than the sorrow. God's greater reality and the salvation offered by atonement and the resurrection of sins forgiven, hope claimed, life after death, grace over sin, love whooping up on hate, and where racism can be buried into the graveyard of Gehenna, never to rise again if we will let it have that power. And so, as you're at home, that you may take your bread, hold it into your hands, and if you're with someone else, maybe to break that and to share it. Know that it's being blessed by the Spirit of the living God. Know that in our togetherness, we are together in God now. That in the oneness of what the Spirit provides, we are grateful. Then, to take of a portion of your bread and to hear the words of Jesus, this is my body which is given for you. Take in remembrance of me. And so the cup, the sign of the blood from the cross, the sign of the cost of what it meant for salvation to be offered, indeed for sins to be forgiven, that maybe at this time it's more clear to you what the grief of the blood represents. And let it come to you with fresh words of Jesus. This is me given for you, that you may know the power of the gift of a sacrifice. Take and drink in remembrance of him. And so, Lord, we have received what only you can give, the gift of yourself, the gift of a crucifixion that brings a resurrection, the gift of a grief that is born from joy, the gift of being able to have a song that emerges out of a sadness, that you may wipe away our tears and renew our spirits in light of you, that you may heal our wounds. And may this experience of communion build us as a community, though we have gathered differently than normal. We are together in you and with each other. We thank you, Lord, through Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.